Welcome to Near Town Church. My name is Andrew Johnson. I am the interim lead pastor here. How is everybody's Memorial Days? Everyone have a good time? Excellent. I hope everybody enjoyed a fair amount of brats and burgers and some finely crafted root beer. My particular favorite is Wynard's, Henry Wynard's, or Virgil's, just in case you want to know what to get me. I mean, what I like. We're excited that you are here at Near Town. A few weeks ago, Russell, our pastor, bid a temporary farewell as he has started his sabbatical. He will be on sabbatical from now through the end of summer. He will be back with us at the end of August. This gives us a really awesome opportunity. One, we get to join with the rest of the believers in support of the Cravens. We get to pray for them. Pray that God will minister to their hearts. Pray that God will give them that rest as well as the recalibration that they need for ministry. That God will speak to them about what he wants for their family and what he was hoping that we then move into as Near Town. The second opportunity that we have is we don't get to sit on our laurels. We get to engage. We get to say, God, what are you wanting us to do for the city? How are you going to use us to impact where you've put us, where we work, where we live, where we play? Lord, how are you going to move in us to invite busy people to experience the peace of life with Jesus Christ? We have these opportunities. Now, today is what we call Vision Sunday. So here at Near Town, we're not going to just say the vision once of why we exist, throw it out there, and hope you remember it 6 months from now. We're going to hit it about every 4 months. Why do we exist? Where are we going? So, for a recap, we here at Near Town exist to invite busy people to experience the peace of life with Jesus Christ. I'm pretty sure it can be on the screen in a moment. So read along with me. We exist to invite busy people to experience the peace of life with Jesus Christ. About 12 of you read, and some with excitement. So let's go for it again. We exist to invite busy people to experience the peace of life with Jesus Christ. That sounded so wonderful. This is who we are. Now, this is the fun part. This isn't just a mission statement. This isn't just something that we use to, oh, it sounds good and we like it. We actively believe that Jesus is everything. Everything. He is my all. He is our all. And we want to get people to a place, whether that place be here in this service or in community with us in loop groups, and we want people to know and experience peace with Jesus. Now, Sarah read from the book of John, and the beauty of what Jesus tells us in the Holy Spirit, what he promises us is peace through the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit will come and be that peace for us. He will remind us of the peace that only comes through Jesus, and that's the beautiful part. We read it and we understand outside of Jesus, we aren't finding it. And so we exist as a church to invite busy people, which is almost a redundancy here in Houston. Everybody's busy. We exist to invite people to experience the peace of life with Jesus Christ. So in January, when we did this last, we said our goal for 2016 is to get 120 people into discipling relationships. 120 people, now that's a nice churchy sounding word. It really just means we want people to make a consistent and intentional effort to pursue and grow with Jesus Christ. That's what we want. 120 people. And we don't put that out there as a number that sounds real nice. And it sounds like a nice, good number. Oh, we hit 120. We care less about the number. We have that number because we believe that Jesus is everything. And we want people to know him and experience him and have that peace of Christ in their life. And so we say 120 people because we want to get people closer to Christ. Now, on January 30th, 31st, whenever we had our Vision Sunday, Russell kind of said, okay, this year we hope to do a number of things. I think it would be disingenuous if we just said we hope to do them, and then we never revisited them. So I want to just kind of update you by way of what God has been doing, and then we're going to hear from some people about what God's doing in them. And then I kind of want to cast the vision. Okay, so we've heard the vision. How are we doing with it? Now where are we going in it? Okay, so one of the things that Russell said in January is he said, okay, we as a church want to do this, 120 people in discipling relationships. What is it going to take to get there? So we put a budget that was bigger than any budget that we have had here at this church since we started. And that was what sometimes it's called like a faith budget. The reality is it's a, God, we need you to move in our hearts as a people to get that money in here, to move in our pocketbooks, because if you don't, Jesus, what we want to have happen will not happen. That's just the reality. And I can say that right now, looking from January 1 through the end of April, what we said, okay, God, we need you to bring in this much. We are 8% over that. So your generosity has continued to roll in. God has blessed us. So I can generally say that giving has outpaced spending, but then the giving of what we hope to see has actually been greater. So from the front, thank you. Thank you so much for being generous with what God has given to you. Also, just don't hear, we're golden, we can coast now. That is not what I am saying. I want to invite you to continue on in your generosity so that we can continue to meet people where they are with Christ. Thank you so much for joining us in that. Secondly, Russell said, okay, this year we are going to do something that is a first for Neartown. We will install elders. Now, elders are men who have been called by God to lead with us and share the joy of shepherding this congregation for a season. So if I could have Jesse Outlaw, David Walker, and Jonathan Kreitz stand up where they are. Stand up where you are. Okay, these fine gentlemen are our elders. Can we give them a hand? We installed them as elders at the beginning of April. They are helping shepherd this congregation. I actually wanted them to stand up, not to embarrass them or anything, but just so you know who they are. If you have questions about the church or what God is doing here, or if you have concerns, you can always come to me, but you can also go to them. And they would love to take you out for coffee, take you out for a meal, hear what God's doing in your heart, and pray with you towards that end. See, I'm just volunteering all your time, Jonathan. It's fine. So it's an exciting thing that we as Neartown have reached that level here. The elders have been installed. So we said it's going to happen. It's happened. And the third thing that Russell said is that, okay, we are going to, in the upcoming months, join in the anti-human trafficking effort. We are going to do something about this awful thing that is going on here in Houston. Unfortunately, Houston is one of the leading cities that deal with human trafficking. Because of our proximity to airports and waterways, trains, and all of the interstates here, this is a high traffic area. And so we want to stand against that. So because of that, we have joined with the Houston Rescue and Restore Coalition, which is now United Against Human Trafficking, as well as the Freedom Church Alliance. And beyond Freedom Church Alliance and just joining them, we've actually gotten behind them financially. So we are going to support what they are doing financially in attempts to curb, stop, and cease what we have going on. We want to say, God, this is awful. You want to stand against it. How can we be a part of it? So if you look in your seats, you have this quarter sheet of paper. So I want everybody to grab it just so I know you see it. At least you have it in your hand. On the back side, you've got an announcement about Human Trafficking 101. On the 25th of June, that is Saturday the 25th, we will meet at our offices, which are across the street. 1004 Taft at 9 in the morning. And we will have a representative from United Against Human Trafficking, as well as, like, the best representative I know of from the YMCA, Miss Rachel Alvarez, who is here with us today. She will be representing them and saying they're going to help us understand what is human trafficking. How can I spot it? What can I do to actually help stop it? And what is going on right now in efforts to both stop it and get people back into society who have been trafficked? So we will talk about those things on the 25th. If you are interested, please now take your other sheet of paper. Grab your Connect card at the bottom. At least put your name and your contact information, like if it's a phone number you prefer to be reached out or email, and then just write HT101. So put your name, put your phone number, HT101. That is how you are signing up for this. Because I would really like to pack out our offices, because I want us to say, we are not just saying it is not cool to traffic humans, and because of that, we're going to throw some money at it. No, I want us to be involved physically. What can we do to actively fight against this? So HT101, throw that on your Connect card. Now, those three things, our generosity, our new elders, and our anti-trafficking efforts, that's pretty great. That's something to celebrate. But in January, we said, you know, we feel God's on the move. We feel God's going to do something here at Neartown. We had that feeling then. We have that feeling now. These three things, these are just checkboxes in a way. This is not exactly what we are excited most about. What we are excited is about what God is doing in you, in me, how he's moving in our hearts, how God is being honored and praised because he's changing us. And so what I wanted to do today is answer the question, how has God moved since January? How has God moved in your life since January? Now, I actually want you to ask that question to yourself and think about it. I am going to have a few friends come, and they are going to share what God has done in their life. Thomas and Leanne, if you want to at least come up here. And Leanne's going to share first, and then Thomas. And what they are going to do is they will start the line, if you will. Because what I want you to do is actually legitimately ask yourself that question. What has God been doing in my life since January? And if you feel so inclined, this mic will be open. And you can come up and share in under 2 minutes what God has been doing in your life since January. And as I told them, I'm going for under 2 minutes. I will watch the time for you. And the closer you get to 2 minutes, the closer I will get to you. And if the arm comes around the shoulder, let's just land that plane and let's let somebody else share. So if you feel that God has moved in your life since January and you have something that you want to say to praise God for what he has been doing, please come on up and share in the mic. So right now I'm going to turn it over to Leanne.
Well, thank you, Pastor Andrew, for the warm welcome. My name is Leanne Hare, for those of you that don't know me. When Pastor Andrew texted me this past week to kind of share how God has been moving in my life since January, I kind of pondered on it to kind of see, wow, I don't know one, like, where he hasn't really been moving. I've had the best times of my life to the absolute worst times of my life. I'll start with some good things. some amazing things that God has blessed me with is the simple thing of graduating with my degree in occupational therapy. I'm able to live out my dream to hear others' stories, to see what they're not doing in life, what they ultimately want to do in life, and to be able to get them engaged to be able to do that. So in a way, I'm able to share my faith in that sense through what my work and what I do. Some other things is the simple just graduating, being student, you know, being a professional now. And some of the worst things, though, is unfortunately about 2 months ago, I got news unexpectedly that my mother had passed away. And during that time, it's hard, of course. However, it's through the faith I know that I will see her again someday. She's watching over me every single day. Unfortunately, during that time, I've got a lot of blessings that had happened through it. I now have a relationship with my brother that I had never had before. He's over 6 months clean. My father is talking about giving his life to the Lord. So it's through these tragedies that I ultimately seen the blessings that the Lord has moved in my life. Even the simple thing of this church, people that I had only known since September, contacting me daily, weekly, my Loop group just to pray with me, helping me financially, because unfortunately my mother didn't have life insurance. So I'm just thank you, Neartown Church, for being so generous and providing those resources that you may have not known that you did, just to help a family member and my life in particular. So even having the best times of my life, I seen God work through them, but obviously the ultimate worst, and it's just giving him the glory and knowing that through it all, in the end, it's just temporary, and I'll see my mom again someday. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I thought someone going before me would help me out. I was wrong. since January, a lot of stuff has happened. I got married, and my wife is pregnant. So those are quite a few good things that have happened. But before that, I lived a life of anger and mistrust in everything, myself, everyone. And it takes a lot of trust for me just to get up here and say that. But I would say that that's the way that God has been working through me to push me, even when my legs feel like jello, as they do now. I have no idea how to do this. But, it's taken a lot. A few weeks ago in Andrew's Loop group, I actually, for the very first time, spoke about a lot of things that I would never speak about to anybody. So, he's been helping me be more open to people and saying more about my life and trying to give trust before I actually receive it, so that way I can actually see the goodness in other people compared to what it was that I grew up with. I don't really... Man, everyone's so quiet. I think I'm done. I really don't know what else to say. I'm sorry. You know?
Anybody else? Would anybody else like to come and share? This is what God's been doing in my life since January. And it's okay. Yeah. See, the beauty is God is moving. So it's not that this is this, I just happened to grab just two people because he's been still everywhere else. The truth is, God has been moving a lot in people's lives. And he's excited to share his peace with you. He is excited to transform you from where you are to where he wants you to be. This is what Jesus is about. This is what he wants to do in all of us. And God gets the glory. So we had two stories to share. But for this, understand there are countless more. God is on the move here at Neartown. Thank you very much, Leanne and Thomas, for being gutsy and sharing those things. The fun thing is, unintentionally, but a lot of what God has been doing recently and continuing to, at least in these two particular stories, it's connected to Loop groups. God has actually been moving in the people that God has he's put around them. And in the midst of tragedy, and in the midst of pain, and in the midst of, I don't know what I'm doing right now, I'm talking to people in Andrew's living room, why am I sharing these things? This is what God is doing. He is opening our hearts to each other. Loop groups here at Neartown. Now, I'll say this again because I've had multiple people. It's loop groups, L-O-O-P. We exist in the inner loop. Our groups meet there. Our aim is to invite busy people to experience the peace of life with Jesus Christ here in the inner loop. So we call them loop groups, not Luke groups. But these loop groups, they exist so that we can accomplish our mission. They are our primary context, for discipleship here at Neartown. They're crucial. Why? What are they about? So here are five quick thoughts on why loop groups exist. And as we're going through them, let me say, first of all, before I launch into it, these are our small group-based things that we have here at Neartown. They meet weekly at somebody's home here in town, and they are led by faithful brothers and sisters. So to continue the embarrassment train, it's not embarrassment. Those who are loop group leaders, can you please stand up where you are? If you are a loop group leader, please stand up where you are. Okay, can we thank them very much? You're good, Matt. The beauty is these actually, the people that you just saw stand up, are 100% normal people. They are not like the super Christians that have managed to climb this amazing hill and they finally have attained and now they are loop group leaders. They are people who said to the Spirit, I want to be used by you wherever you want to use me, so let's go for it. And God said, fine, let's do it. And so thank you very much, loop group leaders, for giving of yourselves, sharing your lives, sharing your testimonies on a weekly basis to help people know and experience that peace of life with Jesus Christ. So why? Why do we have loop groups? Why do they exist? Reason number one, they are for the one another's. Now, in the Bible, you have this slew of verses, and it asks that you do these things for one another. The beauty is you actually have to have an other to do them. And so here I just grabbed an excerpt of some of them. We are to love one another. We are to outdo one another in showing honor. We are to welcome one another. We are to instruct one another. We are to care for one another. We are to serve one another. And it goes on and on. I actually printed it out. It was like three pages of references that can say these are the one another's in the Bible. Our loop groups provide a consistent context for us to practice these things, that we actually can love one another. We can care for one another. This gives us this context to actually live out what God's called us to. The second thing, loop groups are for mutual refinement. When you are in context in life with somebody, at some point you're going to see the grossness in them, and also sadly, they're going to see the grossness in you. You can't put on that smiley, happy, everything's fine face forever. And so as we are in these loop groups, we get to share pain. We get to share each other's burdens. And we get to say, okay, this is what the gospel is. As Matt talked about, the fact that a perfect person came and took our sins and gave us life upon his resurrection, that we have a chance for that, we bring people back to that fact. You don't have to stay in your sin. You don't have to continue to view yourself as the things that you do. You have been set free. And so we engage each other in that weekly at Loop Group and say, you can be who Christ is calling you to, and I am going to stay by your side. I'm going to encourage you in that. Loop groups, the third thing, they are for empowering service. Loop groups exist to empower us for service. So sometimes, for a long time, sometimes the church has been viewed as this is something I do on a Sunday morning, and then I come in this room, and I put my butt in that seat, and this is what I do. I come and I take. And I come and I take, and I say, this is what I need. I need my Sunday fill-up, and then I'm on my way. But the beauty is, Christ has us. He's called us to so much more. And he wants us to see that our life in him is not just about being here on a Sunday, but it's about something more. It's about loving and serving others and saying, Christ, you want me to honor them. I want to honor them. How do I move? How do I live like that? Little groups say, okay, let's do this together. So it's not just you coming on a Sunday morning and saying, I have this idea and I need to go out on my own and serve in this way. As a Leap group, you can say, you know what, let's go serve our town. Let's go serve our neighborhood. It gives us a context to do that. Fourth thing, Leap groups exist for reaching. They are for reaching where we work, where we live, where we play. Here in Newtown, we say reaching. The longtime Christian word was evangelism. That's still not uncool. It's very cool. It's good. We reach others with the goodness of the gospel of Jesus. But Leap groups exist to be a part of that reaching endeavor. And so when we meet on a weekly basis, it isn't just for the cool Christians who come to that house. We want people who do not yet know Jesus as Lord, as Savior, to come with us, join us, be a part of this group. Because when we practice those one another's, when we love each other, when we serve each other, when we outdo each other with honor, those who don't yet know Jesus can see that. And that leaves a mark. We actually would want people to say, that's what the church is about, instead of what shows up on the news. This is why we exist as Neartown. This is why we have Leap groups, to provide a context for showing others who Jesus really is. And lastly, Leap groups are for personal exponential growth. Okay, so I have a graph to kind of explain this. So up above, you have two axes. You've got the bottom axis, which is your time. So, and then your vertical axis, which is the closeness of, or it, the amount of experience you have with the peace of Christ. No, that cannot be quantified, but for fun, we're going to try. Okay, so if I were to come, and I were to come once a month to church on a Sunday morning, I would experience Christ. I would hear his word. I would be shaped by him through worship. But if that is the only context of which I am bringing myself to Jesus to say, change me, I will grow. It's just going to take a bit longer. So you can see this bottom line. There's an incline. It's good. You are being changed by Christ. You are experiencing him more. It's just going to take longer. If I say, you know what, I really like coming once a month. I know that Christ is working on me. I am experiencing him moving in my life. I want more of this. Well, I say, okay, I'm going to come now once a week. I'm going to come every week to church. And I want to be here. First of all, great. Would love to have you here every week. It would be awesome. So in doing so, you're going to provide more opportunities to Christ. Christ, move in me. Work in me. It gets us to that humble and vulnerable state in him. And so instead of at that amount of time, oh, wow, I'm growing. I'm experiencing the peace of Christ more. I am having him more in my life. And this is exactly what I am needing. I need Christ and I am seeing him. And so, what if I come that much and I was like, this is great. Now I want to be in a Leap group. Because now I'm going to double my chances, if you will. I'm going to go in the morning on Sunday and then midweek. And so you might say, okay, well then let's double that. I am getting closer to Christ. I am putting myself in his presence more frequently. I want him to move in me and use me as he sees fit. But the truth of the matter is, that actually isn't fully accurate. And the reason isn't fully accurate, because when you come to a Leap group, you interact with people. And those people are not just in your life for that one night a week. Leanne said it better than I could have, that there were people who came around her, who texted her, who called her, who said, can I pray with you? We as a church said, we want to support you financially. We want to get behind you and help you still be right on your feet. We care for you outside of this one time. And so the reality is the relationships that are formed during this time are going to continually remind you of what Christ is doing in you, continually remind you of the peace that is available in him. And so instead of this line, in fact, it is an exponential growth. It is a curved upwards. It is coming at a much faster rate. And you are going to have more opportunities as brothers and sisters are gathering around you and saying, let's do this life together. Let's chase after Jesus. Let us know him. Here's my corny slide. Yay, Leap groups. Okay. For the audio, it has loop groups with a big exclamation point. So, this is what we are about. And this is, the truth is, loop groups are one of the many places that the Holy Spirit is going to use you and use your brothers and sisters to actually get at our hearts, to shape us, to change us, to move us, and allow us to experience the peace of life with Jesus Christ. Now, right before I got up, Sarah came, and she read from John. It was about the Holy Spirit and what He's going to do in our lives. I want to read it again. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. You know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart. I have overcome the world. These verses are this constant encouragement to me that the life that we want, that our dream life, is available in the Holy Spirit. It is available through Jesus. And we as a church want people to come here. We as a church want to empower you to go out to where you live, where you work, where you play, to be the hands and feet of Christ. We want people to know that Jesus really is life. That in Him is this peace. We read these things, and these are not dreams. This is reality. This is reality. We have peace through His Holy Spirit. Now, right now, where we are, including our littlest disciples, who are weekly in Kids City, those are just small loop groups, including the people who are a part of those, we are at about 70 people. 70 people at Neartown are in discipling relationships. My call today, my request today, my encouragement is to get in a loop group. Again, not so that we can say, oh, we just have 50 more, let's go. No, I want to encourage you because I know that the Holy Spirit is going to work in you and He is going to show you more of who Jesus is. He is going to help you understand what your life is to be about. So I say, get in one. Get in one. Let us help you find one that fits. So on this now very full Connect card, we keep having you put more and more things on. At the very bottom, there's actually a little circle for you to fill in. I want to join a loop group. Put your name, best contact information, and then I'll get a hold of you, and we're going to say, how can I help you get in one? And if you've contacted me before, but it's kind of hit a lull, you have information or you're still looking for information, contact me again. I want us to get in these. And if you say, what is available? And I tell you what's available. Don't lose heart if what you have available is not there, because most likely there's going to be 3, 4, 5 others who also don't have available. And we can say, okay, then what can we make? Because I want us to get into a place where all of us as a church are in loop groups, and we are all running this thing together, encouraging one another and saying, Christ, I know that you are more than I can ever dream and imagine. Thank you for reminding me through these loop groups.